Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI calls on the people of Poland to cultivate their rich heritage of faith. And as Benedict continues to follow in the footsteps of his predecessor, we hear of the shrine of Kalvaria Zebridowska, where the young Wojtyła used to pray with his father. And Father Jim tells us why we must give our friends our best. Speaking from Warsaw's Pilsudski Square on Friday morning, Pope Benedict XVI called on the people of Poland to cultivate their rich heritage of faith and hand it down to their children. Friday was day two of a four-day visit to Poland by Pope Benedict, who said upon his arrival Thursday, "I have come to follow in the footsteps of Pope John Paul II's life, from his boyhood until his departure for the memorable conclave of 1978. Benedict has also described this trip as no mere sentimental journey, but rather a journey of faith, a part of the mission entrusted to him by the Lord. The trip will take him to cities and shrines dear to John Paul and will end in southern Poland at Auschwitz, where 1.5 million people, most of them Jews, were killed during World War II by German Nazis. Pope Benedict's first day in Poland ended with an ecumenical meeting with Protestant and Orthodox leaders, in which he called for more Christian unity. But now we join Veronika Skersbrick, who's in Poland with the Pope, and tells us about the Mass in Pilsudski Square.
Times may change, but there are vintage moments that stay behind in our collective memory, electrifying moments that within seconds change the course of history. So singular, they need to be remembered for the benefit of posterity. Be patient as I tell the story. The date was the 3rd of March 1979, and at the time, while Poland was still a centrally controlled communist country, 300,000 people had gathered in Warsaw's daunting Great Victory Square, their hearts beating fast while the country's leader, Edward Gierek, stood controlling from the window of a hotel room. Just think. In a nation where symbols still carried a high political charge, towering above the square, stood the cross of Christianity, no longer the hammer and sickle of communism. They looked on in disbelief. Not only had a Roman pontiff been allowed to come back to his homeland, to what he'd described when he was elected as a faraway country simply because it was at the time behind an iron curtain, but he was also celebrating Holy Mass, praying and singing with them, his people, as a messenger of hope and herald of freedom, in this nation that had been stifling under the choke of communism for almost half a century. And, as we know, this moment helped draw that iron curtain. I finished that story, but its sequel kicks off here in Warsaw on Friday, 26th of May. Another Roman pontiff, Pope Benedict XVI, who has gone back to that same place, called, since the fall of communism, Pilsudski Square, after the father of the nation. And he's been brushing up his Polish to mark that historic date.
Imię Ojca i Syna i Ducha Świętego.
Amen.
Pokój z wami.
Twenty-seven years ago, my predecessor, John Paul II, uttered these significant words of the prayer, "Let your spirit descend and renew the face of the earth," adding, "the face of this land," Pope Benedict highlighted during that homily of the first Holy Mass he celebrated on his first pastoral journey abroad. He was dressed in red, the colour dedicated to a votive Mass to the Holy Spirit, under a minimalist-looking off-turquoise canopy depicting the Holy Spirit, with haunting music playing in the background while the rain sheeted down. Pope Benedict highlighted the continuity of that message of truth and love, spelling out the value of their beloved Polish Pope's stalwart witness to the faith. And on this visit in his footsteps, the leitmotif is to stand firm in faith. It's a message he's keen to pass on to the new generations, intact, like the apostles did to their successors. And speaking in Italian, he stressed that word, intatto, he said.
Lungo la storia della Chiesa, gli apostoli hanno predicato la parola di Cristo, preoccupandosi di consegnarla intatta ai loro successori.
But his words were also of warning. As in past centuries, he said, so also today there are people or groups who obscure this centuries-old tradition, seeking to falsify the word of Christ, to remove from the gospel those truths, which in their view are too uncomfortable for modern man. They try to give the impression that everything is relative, even the truths of faith. The church cannot silence the spirit of truth. But it was once again to his predecessor that Pope Benedict turned his concluding thoughts, quoting his words in Victory Square back on the 3rd of March 1979. The church in Poland has become a church, a special witness, towards which the eyes of the world are turned. But today, in that same square, Pope Benedict XVI, bearing witness to the grace of the Holy Spirit, encouraged the Polish people to cultivate this rich heritage of faith, come down to them from earlier generations. Hand it down to your children, he said in Polish.
I towarzyszy wam na drodze do szczęśliwej i pełnej pokoju przyszłości.
In Poland, Veronika Skierzbrick, Vatican Radio.
Jego Kościoła. Amen.
My thanks to Veronika Skierzbrick for that report. And Pope Benedict's Polish journey takes him later in the day to the city of Czestochowa to visit Poland's most famous sanctuary, the Marian Shrine of Jasna Góra. The monastery has been a pilgrimage destination for hundreds of years, and it contains the most important icon of Mary in this part of Europe. The icon depicting the Mother of God with the Christ child is known as the Black Madonna of Czestochowa, and it is credited with many miracles. Saturday, meanwhile, takes Benedict to yet another Marian shrine, one that was much beloved to Pope John Paul, also because it was close to his hometown, Wadowice. It's the Marian Shrine of Kalwaria Zebridowska, a place of spirituality and prayer, visited the last time by John Paul II during his last trip to Poland in August 2002. Veronika Skierzbrick was with the Pope during that voyage and remembers some very intense moments she experienced there.
It was to Poland that the late Pope John Paul II dedicated the last words of his spiritual testament, offering us perhaps an insight into the more human side of Karol Wojtyła. So why not step back in time for a moment and find out more about this Polish legacy? A legacy worth a vision. He so often spoke to journalists about himself. For example, he once told an Italian journalist of Polish origin,
I have carried with me the history, culture, experience, and language of my nation. Having lived in a country that had to fight for its existence in the face of the aggression of its neighbors, I have understood what exploitation is. I put myself immediately on the side of the poor, the disinherited, the oppressed, the marginalized, and the defenseless.
Certainly, it was this public legacy he was perhaps best known for, one which will go down in history books, and one he allowed the world media to abundantly highlight. But there's also a more private part to his life which he's given little away of throughout his papacy. Penetrating the inner man is not an easy task, as he himself said on one much quoted occasion, They try to understand me from the outside, but I can only be understood from the inside. Pope John Paul II may certainly have chafed under the burden of infirmity, but in a world increasingly riddled with the culture of death, his suffering symbolically became a shining beacon of hope. Already since the early days of his pontificate, one of his most striking features was the serenity of his prayer life. His ability to be absorbed in prayer in the public eye, despite the pointed cameras zooming in on him. People close to the Polish pontiff had told me about this striking feature, highlighting it again and again. But the first time I witnessed this personally was at a Marian shrine in Poland. Pope John Paul II prayed and prayed, kneeling in front of the silver icon of Our Lady, said to be miraculous. All the while, the 500 people in the church there and the over 20,000 outdoors were silent. The prayer lasted half an hour, upsetting scheduled plans, and was a lesson for all in itself. It happened in a place by the name of Kalvaria Zebrzydowska, nestling in the Beskidy Hills, a place familiar to him since childhood, given he used to reach it on foot with his father from his town. As his childhood chum, Jerzy Kluger, recounts.
When they were going to Kalvaria with the procession, they were walking all the way.
Yeah, which means a certain closeness. So the young Karol Wojtyła used to go from
Badovice. Yes, yes, he went there very often with his father. He prayed there with his father. His father was deeply religious.
This Marian shrine is a very Polish place, as Pope John Paul highlighted himself, invoking the protection of Our Lady. Grant, O Mother Calvary, that we may be one among ourselves and one with you.
I Tobie raz jeszcze wyznaję, to cóż tuż, Maria, to cóż tuż.
A much-needed prayer, the Pope explained, invoking Our Lady's help in granting families, the love which makes it possible to overcome problems, show young people a way to the future. Who knows what was on this Polish Pope's mind as he came back to the familiar shrine for the second time in his pontificate. Certainly the closeness to his hometown must have made him nostalgic of his own family, his younger days. Days that, as we know, were marked by personal suffering, by many deaths in his immediate family. And at a more political level, the tragic context of repression he grew up under, first under the Nazi, then under the communist regimes. But suffering never crushed his love for life. There were also happier days, or anyway, happier moments, as Jerzy Kluger describes.
Every year there was a table tennis tournament.
Karol Wojtyła played table tennis?
Yes, yes. He played quite well.
Would you describe the young Karol Wojtyła as a person who was deeply joyful or not?
He was very joyful. His greatest talent, when he was young, was dramatic, you know. His ambition was to become an actor. The way he spoke, this beautiful, you know, voice, you know, the expression, you know, that was his life, you know, his main aim in life. So, obviously, as an actor, he was doing the tragic parts and also comical parts. He was also good at that, very good. And he was very elegant always, you know. Then we had dancing schools and all that. I'm completely amusical and have no sense of rhythm, so I was just stepping on the feet of those poor girls which were dancing with me. Anyway, he was a very, very good dancer.
A description of normality there for Karol Wojtyła, which may have brought a smile to your face. In reality, expressing a profound ability to embrace life when the sun shines, as in this occasion or indeed in other relaxed occasions, such as the day this Pope and former university professor, reaching out to his Polish roots, enjoyed ambling around in the summer garden in the manner of the Greek peripatetic philosophers, rigorously speaking in his beloved language, with other university professors, such as cosmologist Professor Michael Heller, Polish-born as well.
He invited Polish physicists from Krakow and from other cities of Poland, and we suggested a few times to him that perhaps it should be made international, but he preferred to keep it Polish because it's his vacations, to use Polish language and to be more free, and devote 3 or 4 days of his vacations at Castel Gandolfo for such discussions about physics, philosophy, theology, and we discussed cosmology, Big Bang, and particle physics, and philosophy, and chaos theory.
But this ability to embrace life was there on rainy days as well. Days when this frail and elderly man, cooped up in a personal garden of pain, may no longer have been able to speak well, but could still provide a key to reading into suffering, as we watched him in his twilight years, looking stalwartly to the future of old age. A symbol of joy rather than suffering, a symbol of the sacredness of life.
You've been listening to a programme written and produced by Veronica Scaresbrick. And staying with the theme of Marian devotion at the end of this month of May, we take some time to sit back and enjoy a poem dedicated to Our Lady. The poem, recited by Arthur Baum, was written by Gerard Manley Hopkins, the English Jesuit whose works were not published till 30 years after his death in 1889, but who today is considered one of the great poets of the Victorian age. Here is his May Magnificat.
May is Mary's month, and I muse at that and wonder why. Her feasts follow reason, dated due to season. Candlemas, Lady Day, but the Lady Month, May, why fasten that upon her with a feasting in her honour? Is it only its being brighter than the most hour must delight her? Is it opportunist and flowers find soonest? Ask of her, the mighty mother, her reply puts this other question: what is spring? Growth in everything, flesh and fleece, fur and feather, grass and green world all together, star-eyed, strawberry-breasted throstle above her nested, clustered of bugle-blue eggs, thin forms and warms the life within, and bird and blossom swell in sod or sheath or shell. All things rising, all things sizing, Mary sees, sympathizing with that world of good, nature's motherhood. Their magnifying of each its kind with delight calls to mind how she did in her stored magnify the Lord. Well, but there was more than this. Spring's universal bliss much had, much to say to offering Mary May. When drop of blood and foam dapple bloom lights the orchard apple, and thicket and thorpe are merry with silver surfed cherry, and azuring over graybell makes wood banks and brakes wash wet like lakes, and magic cuckoo call caps, clears and clinches all, this ecstasy all through mothering earth tells Mary her mirth till Christ's birth to remember, and exultation in God who was her salvation.
You've been listening to the voice of Arthur Baum. And now Father Jim Brand, spiritual director of the Beda College in Rome, continues in his meditations on prayer and friendship. Reflecting on Khalil Gibran's poem, The Prophet, he tells us why our friends deserve our best.
Last week, in the poem on friendship by Khalil Gibran, from The Prophet, I reached the line, "Let your best be for your friend." And if he must know the ebb of your tide, let him know its flood also. For what is your friend that you seek him with hours to kill? Seek him always with hours to live. For it is his to fulfil your need, but not your emptiness. And I was thinking sometimes, friends only contact us when they're down. Or we only contact a friend when we're down. Well, any excuse for contact's good. It's rather boring. If whenever we're in contact, it's because we need. We're in need. It's very nice to meet when we're in flood. When the tide is in flood. Not just in the ebb. Have you ever tried to fill the bath with the plug out? It's very exhausting. If whenever you're tanking up something, it's all leaking. Well, we all leak. Grace has been poured into our hearts. Lots of love's been given to us in life. But we leak. Instead of having a full cistern or a full petrol tank, we seem to sort of drain away all that affirmation, all that love. The trouble is, we don't always know where we're leaking. Some people are holed below the waterline, so their bilge is full of seawater, salt water, and they feel very heavy in the water, and there's no room for cargo and friends and butter, because they're carrying all this seawater around the world, being very low in the water themselves. Such a waste of energy. The way to get better is to find out where it is that we leak. Where is this hemorrhage? Where is this hole below the waterline? And then put a cork in it. And then we can use our bilge pump, which is our tears, to send the salt water back to Mother Ocean where it belongs. We shouldn't really be carrying all this salt water on us. But with friends, we can feel confident enough sometimes to let all that salt water come away. The bilge pump can work, and we can send that water back to Mother Ocean where it belongs. Maybe one day I'll give a little thought piece on, for me, one of the most profound songs I've ever heard, Bridge Over Troubled Water, where the last verse is, "Sail on, silver girl, sail on homeward by." Your time has come, all your dreams come their way, see how they shine. Oh, when you need a friend, I'm sailing right behind. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will ease your mind. So if we're rather filled with salt water because we've been out in all weathers, with friends we can not have to pretend anything. We can sometimes weep away our pains. But when we weep, sometimes it is a convulsion of sadness. I don't know if they've experienced feeling sick in the night. And you're thinking, oh, what a terrible thing to have to be sick. It's the most awful convulsion there is. I'll walk up and down. I'll have a peppermint sweet to try and help. And then after about an hour, I think, it's no good, it's no good. If I'd been ill, sick, an hour ago, I'd feel all right now. And here am I, walking up and down, still feeling ill. So one might go to the bathroom and kneel down. Make sure you're not going to bang your head. Because it is a convulsion. You have to make sure you're safe before you can let rip. And sometimes people have their pains, but they don't feel safe. But with a friend, we feel safe to be able to share our sorrows. But also, Khalil Gibran is saying, let's also share our joys, so that our friendship isn't just a morbid thing. It's a positive, fun, enjoyable experience. Because there's nothing like it in this world, as I said at the beginning of these series of talks, to feel that you're chosen as a friend and that you can share your story, whatever it is, both the heights and the depths. Amen.
That's all from the English feature program today, but we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programs on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English program. Laudetur Jesus Christus.